All right, so today's topic is managing money fears. So the pain point is, do you treat your budget like I treat my diet and be like, we'll do that Monday. We'll and then Monday never comes.
Yeah.
So I know for us, there was times when we lived and died on a budget.
Mm.
Very sobering indeed. We would go into a supermarket and we did the reverse. We said, okay, we're going to spend $200. And this is kind of like for a couple of weeks worth of food. You know, this is back many decades ago, not now. And each item I'd put in the basket, I would minus that.
Hmm.
So it's kind of like, okay, that's what I have left to spend. And so it's like, okay, I need to put that back. And times were tight.
Yeah.
So, one, do you have a budget? And have you always had a budget?
So we have a budget. We've not always had one. We had to instate one more of necessity than anything else when Heather quit her job because of health reasons.
Sure.
But I know for me, budgeting and the fear of finances has always been a big thing for me.
Sure.
Wasn't until recently I've been trying to let go of that fear, and it's still hard. It, you know, I look at our bank statements and I'm like, where is it going to be kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Especially with us thinking about like having kids, buying a house, you know, there's always these things that you're trying to save for and being pulled in seven different directions on top of
right.
life in general. So fear of finances has been a pretty big mindset in our household, but
sure.
A budget helps, but even with a budget in place, I mean, there are days where you're just like, man, it's going to be tight. How are we going to do this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of thing. So it ranges. I know you guys instilled a budget early on for us,
sure.
Growing up, just the importance of it. And I've always been trying to be a good steward with my money. And,
yeah.
It ain't easy. I know we always joke Ooh. About how Lord puts people in our lives where no matter how much money you make, and there's always some person, some family making triple that around you to humble you a little bit.
Oh, wait, you're not in the Millionaires Club?
Yeah.
Because when I go into a group, I am definitely the oddball in the Millionaires Club. Like, I talk about, like, well, yeah, you know, we just kind of went for a beach getaway for like 2 or 3 days kind of thing. And a little person, like, oh, I just bought Guam.
So, I bought my island.
Yeah, right. So here's a stat for you. It says 56% of Americans fear their financial futures, and a third are so worried they're losing sleep, according to a new survey in LendingTree. So if you're awake and you're stressing about money, know that 56% of Americans are awake with you.
Yeah,
the
I mean,
same moment.
It's pretty common. I mean, I know a friend of mine who's been trying to get a new job, and he's been trying to, you know, be financially secure that he can, you know, kind of strike out on his own.
Mm.
And, you know, this dude's been trying for a while, and not for lack of trying. I mean, he's tried for a long time, and sometimes,
sure.
I mean, it's difficult. That when sometimes you realize that there's only so much you can do. You
sure.
Know?
Sure.
And a lot of this is out of our control. But it's funny how all the fears start rolling right back to control, huh? It's the fear of not
right.
being in control.
Sure. Because, you know, in control, well, think if you had complete control of your life. You probably would screw it up completely.
Mm.
You'd probably get some things right. And then all of a sudden, you'd be like shirtless with no shoes. At the Lexus dealership, trying to pick out your third car of the day because, you know, you're in control of everything. And so, yeah, it's a reason why we're not in control, and
mm-hmm.
God is. On the list here, you know, about finances, you know, I get it. It's much more enjoyable to spend money.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend that I worked with, and he was like, I asked him how he was doing because he's been having some financial problems. And he's like, oh, yeah. We went and bought a sectional this weekend. And I said, oh, that's a big purchase. I said, you've been kind of needing one of those or, you know, been saving for a while. No, we were depressed. And so we went and bought a sectional. Do you not sell like an ice cream cone where you live? I mean, is something smaller than a sectional you can purchase? And so spending money is always a little more exciting than saving money. But, you know, when I was young, the guy who was pitching the 401k service at our company, he's always like, I'm trying to get you, the young man, to think of the old man. Because in the future you, one day is going to want to or need to make a big purchase. And will they think of the past you in a fond, thankful way? Or, I was so stupid 20 years ago.
Why did I buy that popcorn machine?
Right, exactly. So, you know, having a budget is definitely a good first step. But this is kind of like what Alcoholic Anonymous calls a dry drunk, that you're being forced to make a decision. I think if we change our perspective on money and realize that it's God's anyway, it'll change how we approach it, how we spend it. I've heard a pastor say, you want to see your heart, this is back in the day, open your checkbook and see where your money's been going to.
Yeah.
And where's your tithe?
Yeah.
Is it the first thing that come out of your check, or is it one of many? Is it there at all? That kind of thing. And so immediately when I was developing content for this, I thought of the 1 Timothy 6:10. Mm-hmm. It says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. You know, that always gets misquoted. Money is the root of all evil. That's wrong. The love of money. When you misprioritize money, that is the root of all evil. Because you put that on an idol, or on a pedestal, becomes an idol to you. And no amount of money that you make is going to make you happy. I have friends that make a ton of money, and I've worked with people who are millionaires. You talk to them, they are worried sick about something else that they're trying to get a bonus, or they're trying to get this, you know, car or whatever it is. They're just nervous and scared about that. It's like, how much money do you have in the bank? Why are you so nervous about this? So it's the love of money. And so I think how we approach it makes a big difference in our lives.
Yeah, well, you can approach it in different ways. That's why I think it's very seductive in that way, that it can be an idol in different formats of spending it and, you know, not being a good steward with the money that God has blessed you with, hoarding it, and so that you always need more money,
right,
and that becomes your main goal in life. Or you tie your identity to it, and it's entirely based on providing for your family, which we are called to do.
Right.
But if your entire identity is around how much money you make, or how many cars you have in your driveway, or, you know, how many vacations you go on with your family a year, that becomes a problem. And so all those are different aspects of the same thing.
Sure.
I mean, the guy who spends a lot of money probably gets laughed at by the guy who saves all this money. But they're both in the same boat, and they're both drilling holes into the bottom of it.
Right.
Right. They just don't know it.
I mean, if it's a means to an end, and unfortunately, in a culture that loves excess and people who drive Lambos and have multiple houses and just tons of money get all the headlines, that is equated to success.
Yeah, I've made it. I now have a multi-million-dollar house and 2-car garage,
sure,
and all that kind of stuff.
The guy who was building larger barns for grain was unaware that his soul was demanded that day, the Bible says. So our first verse here is Matthew 6:31-33.
All right. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
Oh my goodness. I mean, there's something I got to do for God before I seek something for myself. Mm. Maybe that's why we're all struggling with, you know, where we are in life. We kind of like put ourselves in front of God. Mm. So if I can just get this, right, then I'll be happy.
Well, I think it goes back to the culture thing. Yeah. I mean, we are bombarded with advertisements and bad advice and everything in between that just tells us, well, if I just get that new iPhone that just came out, if I get this house, if I get this car, then that'll fill that gaping hole in my soul. And that is only a hole that can be filled by God. And I mean, that it is all, and like you said, it's all about perspective. I mean, if I turned finding a home for me and my wife into an idol, and that is the be all end all, that's a problem.
Sure.
If I am penny pinching and trying to save every bit of money, but for my own personal gain and not to glorify God and his kingdom,
right,
that's a problem.
We don't buy new vehicles very often at all. We're a one car family. And so when we bought one, it wasn't new, it was a couple years old. The guy who was selling it to us, he's like, well, it's not like, you know, you're going to keep this for like 10 years. You know, I'm like, no, we will keep this car for more than just the 1 or 2 years that you're pitching. I have friends that they just love horse trading cars, buying cars left and right, have multiple cars. They have more cars than they do garage spaces. I have a friend that they bought a car, and by the time I saw them again within the month, they had a different car. I said, what happened to the other car? It was too hard to keep clean. The color was too hard to keep clean. So they swapped out to a different car. Wasn't a different color, it was just a different kind of car. I mean, it was a different color, but it was a different type of car as well.
No.
For me, that's just the side of hell. I mean, having to go through that process of dealing with that purchase, if I could just do that once every 10, 15 years, that'd be great.
Yeah.
One every 10 to 15 days, that's not my cup of tea. From a practical budget standpoint, obviously, Dave Ramsey gets, it's a mixed bag. Sometimes people are like, you know, make fun with his style, but you know, find a program or process that help you save money. I carpool with a lady who actually, it must be a Dave Ramsey thing, envelopes. You have the envelopes, you write, you know, like education or car or whatever, and you put money in those envelopes, and it forces you to do something, I guess, to save that money. Whatever works for you, but not having something is a slippery slope that, no pun intended, you will definitely pay for down the line.
Yeah.
So as we get ready to start our next segment, we want to make sure that you tune back in. We have a couple more verses and a challenge for you. So we'll see you on the other side. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Wilson Technology Group. At Wilson Technology Group, we're not just an IT vendor. We're your trusted business partner delivering exceptional support, innovative solutions, and peace of mind. One call, one team, all your tech issues resolved. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Viking Mergers. Sell your business? Viking Mergers and Acquisitions can help. With 25 plus years of experience and 800 successful sales, we're experts in securing maximum value. Get your free business valuation now at vikingmergers.com or call 866-592-9467. All right, welcome back to our second segment. We have a couple of points to talk about. So how can leaning on God's promises and seeking his kingdom first bring peace and perspective when it comes to money that feels out of our control? Like, when we do seek the kingdom first, what does that do for us?
I think for me, it helps prioritize money where it needs to be. Instead of it being first, it's you know, second, third, or fourth on that list kind of thing. Because when it's first, it dictates everything else.
Right.
You know, having the priority be God and His kingdom helps set the tone for the rest of that list.
Sure.
And so you're not leaving money in this idle position of like, well, money, well, it's easy to make it an idol because it's so integral into your daily life. Got to pay the water bill, got to pay the car bill, got all this kind of stuff.
Sure.
But when you forget that it is, you know, it's all there to glorify God's kingdom, that helps set the cadence of, well, it's not mine to begin with.
Right. Thank goodness I know a lot of people. I guess it comes with being old, I guess. But I know a gentleman that is not a believer, and he is definitely into things. And so he was talking about, I know he just buys stuff, sometimes small stuff, sometimes, and most times big stuff, anything in between. He just buys and buys and buys. And you can tell that he's got this little window. If he has an audience, that's what he craves. To show you that thing. And if you don't respond to that, I must need to get a different thing because not everybody is responding to it. And this gentleman has 43 guitars.
Goodness.
And so one day I asked him, I said, wow, I didn't even know you played. He said, I don't. What the hell do you need 43 guitars with? I could see me collecting maybe a Fender or a Stratocaster or whatever the styles are. 43 of them seems to be a misplaced use of funds. And this is one example of probably a dozen, two dozen things in his life he has like that, whether it be guns or guitars or cars, plural, like 9-10 cars. Not that in anything wrong with that in per se, but you could tell that he has put that as an idol.
Yeah.
And there's a God-shaped hole in his heart that nothing he purchases fills it. There's no sense of satisfaction there. It's always, I bought this, what's next?
Yeah.
And so it's about perspective. And so so share how you can find contentment in simplicity and generosity, whether you have a little or a lot. And so I follow these two guys. It was a Netflix show. They're the Minimalist or something like that. And they just kind of go through like, hey, if you're trying to scale down, here's some tips.
Yeah.
When you think you can't, you can. And so we just had someone, we helped someone move from one state to the other. And oh my goodness, the tears that came with just purging things that were probably not needed were a tremendous struggle for this person. And so have you ever found yourself, I know Mom and I purge often, but it's not a common thing. You find yourself trying to get more simplistic in your day-to-day life?
I think it's difficult if you're not aware of it. I've been trying to be more aware of it now, especially with the culture that we're in, because the culture that we're in right now is, I mean, you swipe through TikTok or YouTube, is ads aplenty. You know, do you need a new chair? We got new chairs for you. It comes in every shape, size, and color.
Yep.
And it's that contentment that I think I try to focus on a lot, because it's easy to be like, well, I need this other thing. And I sit back and say, okay, where is that desire coming from? Is that coming from an actual need? Like, is it an actual, like, hey, we need a new car. Our car is over a decade old. It's showing wear and tear. We need a new one. Yeah, totally understandable. Or is it, well, my friends just got this new car, and I'm really jealous of that new car.
Right.
And so trying to find that, where that feeling is coming from, and it's very difficult because it's easy to blend those wants and needs together.
Sure.
Especially with the people that you run a crowd with. I mean, my life group has many couples in it in many different stages of either just being married, having their first kid, being pregnant, or having their second or third kid. And it's, you know, I'm surrounded by people who have either bought their house recently. I've helped people move into their house. They've had their house for a while. And I'm sitting here like, man, why can't I get a house?
Sure.
And so it creates this weird level of jealousy, right?
Sure.
And you're like, why am I not being blessed in that same way? And so there's all these like little pitfalls of financial worry, whether it's jealousy, it's desire instead of a need. And that's the thing that me and my wife have really been trying to hone down this season so that, you know, God willing, when we do eventually have kids, that we are in a position that we can provide for them in a financial way.
Sure.
But it's not easy, and it's definitely not fun. I mean, there's plenty of ads I see online. I'm like, I really would like a new thing. I haven't bought the new thing for myself in a while. It's a new thing.
Well, you just said, and we sat down here, that you have an iPhone 13.
Mm.
Apple just came out with its iPhone 15,
mm-hmm.
drastically different. And you got to add, hey, want to update to the iPhone 15?
They texted me. I felt so special.
Really? Oh, very nice. Yeah, I think that when you're in the thick of it, like this gentleman has no clue. If I was to go to him and say, why do you have so many guitars? He'd be like, why shouldn't I? It's my money.
Why don't you have 48 guitars?
Right, it's my money. And therein lies the problem. We think that this is ours to use at our discretion with no holes barred. And that's an odd thing to hear and say. But when you start passing it through the God lens of this belongs to God,
mm-hmm.
how I use that reflects and communicates where my heart is. And so if you're not a believer, I'd imagine that's very difficult to wrap your head around. I wasn't thinking of that before I came to Christ.
Yeah.
And so, but we're sitting here talking to believers here about getting be better stewards and overcoming our fear of finances. So as we kind of land this plane, we always have a challenge. And it's twofold. One, take part in engaging with us, leaving comments on either social or YouTube about the podcast helps us create content, and also it creates conversation. Mm-hmm. And the second part is more of a practical. We like to encourage, but also challenge. And so the challenge is sit down and get real about your budget and commit to starting one good financial practice this month, and then share your progress here in the comments with the hashtag faith over fear.
Yep. So I would definitely recommend having an accountability partner in that, because mm-hmm. like we said in the beginning, the joke about you handle your budget like you handle your diet, having an accountability person who steps in and kind of has a conversation of like, okay, so how's your budget going? Are you cutting back on eating out? Are you cutting back on buying your 44th guitar? Are you cutting back on that?
Right.
Because, you know, we are not meant to be alone. Mm. We talk about community being very important on this podcast.
Sure.
Time and time again, finding that accountability partner that you can have that keeps you honest about your own decisions is paramount.
I'll end it with the friend that they were shopping one day, and they went to go grab something, and they put it down, and they said, my friend has forbid me to purchase anything else because I have too much of everything already and I don't need anything else. No matter whether you're 8 years old or 88 years old, sometimes we need someone to help us make better decisions. And so if you're not going to listen to the Holy Spirit, pray for an accountability partner to help you speak truth with grace into your life. Not to snatch that out of your hand, but maybe, you know, ask questions gently and discuss. Do we need a ninth pair of blue shoes? Probably not. Yeah. So, guys, I hope you enjoyed that. Be sure to check us out next week as we dial into another fear series that we're going through this October. And so, go out there and be uncommon.